Hi, I'm Henry Baker. I'm the president and founder of the We Care Forever Foundation, and I am overjoyed today to be joined with Jeffrey Bates, the author with his daughter Bailey of Twinkle Twinkle Little Moon. And we're just gonna have a little discussion here, ask Jeff a few questions about his thought process and what he was thinking about around Twinkle Twinkle Little Moon, which is an amazing children's book, which is all about emotional intelligence for children. And this is one of six books that Jeff has written, including The Little Bucket, books that are focused on emotional intelligence, dealing with all kinds of different subjects, bullying, creating healthy boundaries. So we'll just get into this. Jeff, welcome.
Thanks, Henry. I'm glad to be here. This is a great opportunity to talk a little bit about this. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. I'm always excited to talk about these subjects. I think it's really important to provide materials and discussions for the children. That's what we're about, pretty much, at We Care Forever. So yeah. What was your thought process when you heard Bailey's dream, your daughter Bailey, who's totally awesome, really, really love her. So she had this dream, and then you asked her to maybe draw an image about her dream. What were you thinking about when she...
Well, it's not that I was thinking. I was more of I was aware. You know, I think it's important. I don't want to go there. So I was aware that she was telling me something after she just woke up. And when she said, "Daddy, the moon is singing a lullaby to the stars," I was like, I said, "What?" You know? And I said, "Tell me more about that." I said, can you draw me a picture?" So I gave her a piece of paper. Actually, I realized it wasn't a piece of paper. It was my sketchbook. I gave it to her, and immediately she started drawing this picture that's on the cover of the book. It's the moon, the main character. And I just, when she was drawing it and she drew the stars in the moon's eyes, I thought that was so profound. And so Bailey has special needs, right? So, sometimes, you know, it was what's so profound for me that she got this dream. It was something for her, as it dawned on me. This is a dream for her, you know, and I felt really confident and good that she was knowing, you know, this dream was telling her, in my way of looking at dreams, that she herself realizes that she is bright enough, you know, and in that she would be maybe stereotyped in the real world, you know, by people that don't know geniuses like her, as I have gotten to know her through the years, and is sensitive and compassionate and thoughtful and just a girl as she is, you know. And I was privileged to be able to take care of her for most of her life. And I got to witness all this stuff in real time as it was happening. But when she had this dream, Henry, I was just like utterly just blown away by it. And it was like, how amazing. And I've done a lot of thinking about dreams through the years, as dreams as a subject in itself, and children have dreams and we all have dreams, and dreams come from someplace, you know. They come from a place where we're not always aware of, you know, and we kind of like, we dismiss dreams. Oh, don't, you know, don't daydream or don't be a dreamer. You know, that person's a dreamer. You know, we disdainfully, you know, try to exorcise people from their dream state. But, you know, what the world needs now is a few more visionary dreamers. And this book, we'll talk about, I guess, go on, but this book, as it came out of me, the poem, and then the pictures and everything, I really wanted to build this around Bailey's, you know, moon. And I tried my best to create this so that I think would capture the essence of, really the essence of what her dream was telling me. And I think of what it's telling her and what it can tell a lot of people.
Yeah, I thank you, Jeff. I think it's just amazing how you embraced Bailey, and instead of just being like, "Don't be a dreamer," there's a lot of us telling children what they shouldn't be, and I think your magic as you work with children, is that you really see the children. They know, and I think it's so rare that they are seen and mm-hmm. taken at their level, where they're at the moment, really seeing them. And I believe that you and Bailey can really teach, you know, children and adults, mm-hmm. You know, because of what, you know, Bailey has a tremendous purpose, you know, absolutely. In the world. I really believe that. And
absolutely.
That you really helped her embrace that. And that's beautiful. So I want to ask you, what messages do you and Bailey want children to get from Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Moon? What do you think?
Follow your dreams. Listen, pay attention to your dreams. I have another, my second book was called The Little Bucket Deep Space Meeting. And in that book, the little bucket actually has a dream. And he goes to outer space and I'm not going to give it away because I want people to buy it and read it. but there's a line in there. But I want people to buy it. I want people to read it to kids because there's a line at the end that says, the little bucket's vivid dream took him to outer space. It's the place he's now found within and brightens up his face. There's a certain imagination that gets connected to in the artistic nature of a dream, which is vivid. And, you know, it's Henry. It's the new Renaissance, you know, is kind of like tapping in, helping people tap into what is that inside. You know, we chase so much. And I think this is maybe one of the messages of the book and for everyone. Mm-hmm. We chase so much our happiness in some kind of an external sense. We're trying to grab something or someone or the final thing that we think is going to make us happy. And we don't pay attention to our dreams. You know, another line in that book is pay attention to your dreams. You may go to places and see new faces and it's not as strange as it seems because it's the universe within you, and it's trying to get you to see the beautiful world that is right here with all the stars and the galaxies. That's kind of the way the book ends. Yeah. And so much of the time we're taken out of ourselves and we're going out there to try and achieve something, and we're just disconnected from this whole effervescence that we all have inside, somewhat and sometimes covered over with trauma and disbelief and pain and suffering, you know, from the past. But, you know, we can learn how to access it and find a way to grow and help everyone find this, you know, everybody's unique. I think another message would be Bailey and I would say is everyone's unique and has their own experience of this. I'm not telling anything, you know, anyone how to be or what to do. I just really feel like I'm trying to say, what if we all had this beautiful, wonderful, artistic dream place inside that we could share with each other and create new things and grow new things. And like We Care Forever, right? It's your vision and your purpose and why you and I think have such a great collaboration at this point. And we're inviting other people, leadership people who have vision and care for children to also see us and support what we're doing at We Care Forever.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, I think it's, you know, what I got, and I was reading the book again last night. You know, what came to me was a lot of the message is getting to final goals, collecting certain riches, and that represents you, that makes you who you are. And I think that's a really terrible fallacy, missing the entire journey, missing the entire process, how we show up in the process, how we impact people in the process. You know, I just see that people are acting in terrible ways through the process to get to certain goals, and then I'll act like a decent person, then I'm going to figure out ways how to use this. Well, what kind of damage did you cause through that whole process? And I think telling children, especially getting them to understand that they are special and unique and great and fine right now, they don't have to do anything to be deserving and to be, you know, important and to impact the world. I think that's just a beautiful message. So,
and also to pick up on, I was going to say to to pick up, is it okay just to pick up on that a little bit? Because I think one of the big messages in the story, in the narrative itself, is the bucket and the bucket, the moon's longing to be a star. The moon really wanted to be a star. She wanted to go out and be among the stars, but found out, and I don't want to give away any of the tricks because I want people to read this. The realization is in our civilization is a whole lot of people trying to be something they're not, you know, and I'm in horror at the prospect that 13, 14 year old children, kids who haven't even had they're not even out of adolescence yet, they're trying to get followers, they're trying to get these people following them around on on Instagram and Facebook and these social media platforms, TikTok, you know, and it's the whole idea of getting followers so you feel good about yourself, right? You get the notoriety, but it's so empty, you know. It's you may have achieved something externally, but the internal process, you know, of just being okay with who you are without having to have all that stuff is just, we don't know how to turn it around. So that's one of the things I'm concerned about.
Yeah. For me, you know, if I find five really good friends in my life, I'm really happy.
There you go.
It seems just very shallow to try to juggle tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of very shallow relationships, and that justifies my existence. That's pretty abysmal concept. So, you know, I've listened to you tell, you know, this story and other stories, Little Bucket, your other books. I've seen you work in classrooms, and I'm shocked how deeply I'm affected by this. I'm 46 years old. And you know, why do you think that is? Why do you think that these stories, because I know you're an expert in myth and stories and these are things that help people with imagination, because it's not just putting things in people's translations and people's faces and movies and images and other people's visions. So what do you think parents, what do you think adults can gain from Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Moon or your other books?
Well, I think you kind of spoke to that. I think there's a depth, there's a depth craving that many people have. It's the things that we shove into ourselves, instant gratification things that we can just process as information. It's the processing how fast the things are. And it's really from the neck up that most people do that. And my sense is that we're missing some deeper level of connection. You know, I'll mention the poet Robert Bly, who just died a couple of months ago. You know, he was about deepening a consciousness and awareness, and as a poet, in the manner of Robert Frost, I think before him, and others who've been the social cultural critics, who've been able to use their voice to speak to something that most people just miss, and they don't have the time. And most people who are listening to this, you feel like there's something missing, but you just can't put your finger on it. It's because you've been conditioned by a system that is basically drawing and extracting from you your allegiance, but it's not giving you anything back. And, you know, it may give you a paycheck, it may give you, you know, house to live in, you're got some food in your refrigerator. But there's a level of depth. And I think when you say that, as far as I get so much out of like the story or your, you know, and thank you for the compliment, but I think there's a lot of people that are working on this. A lot of artists are working on this, the depth of appreciation for where we are, you know, where you are right now, where things are happening right now for you. Anxiety is about trying to, you know, to fix something in the future. And a lot of people, you know, I don't know, it's just, it's backwards. My experience is that a lot of the flow of civilization that we live in is backwards. It's going in the wrong way. And if it's the Mississippi River, I've learned use this analogy. If it's the Mississippi River, the poet, the person that's actually in the creative flow and in the depths is standing in the Mississippi River underwater and walking in the opposite direction. And with enough of us doing this, there can be some creative, I really think there'll be some creative interaction, and the Mississippi River may end up turning around all by itself after a while. It may have that. If enough of us says, as one of my friends, Michael says, if enough of us are on the offense and not on the, always on the defense, if we're actually promoting creative change and transformation, and we have models and stories and, you know, methods and so forth that we're addressing these kind of things, and people start to become aware, they start to grow. There's something that happens as magic. It's magical, you know?
Beautiful.
And so that's what, I think that's what it is. Joseph Campbell talked a lot about it in The Power of Myth, and the creative insight, art. You know, the artist's job is to bring the things out of the invisible world and bring them out to the visible world. So that's the artist's job. So people can see what they're dealing with. That's a long answer, but
yeah. So something interesting just struck me right now. And, you know, I have this concept that we're being bombarded by information from streaming services, from online services. I mean, for me, it's all about filtration. I feel overwhelmed by that. And I was thinking that when I'm listening to a children's book, it's written for children. I'm not being targeted. I'm not the target of the book. Now, I believe, I'm thinking about this right now as you're talking, that fact allows me to take it into a very, very deep place, because this has nothing to do with me. No one's trying to make me believe something. No one wrote this for me. They wrote this for the child. And I think that disconnect is actually very powerful. Yeah. And that's something I want to investigate even further. But I'm just mentioning that. So really appreciate your time. Is there anything else, Jeff, you want to share with our listeners before we go?
Just on that beautiful insight you just had, because one of the things I think is really tricky, not tricky, but powerfully relevant is that when we are, our defenses are down, and this may bring our conversation full circle, when our defenses are down and we're reading a book to a child and suddenly something in that book starts speaking to us too, that is a great way of learning, and that is completely in line with what I'm talking about as I'm approaching even writing this adult book that I'm writing called The Sword and the Stone, Discovering Our Sovereign Self Between the Pairs of Opposites. I'm talking about inductive learning as opposed to deductive learning. I'm not forcing myself into a place where I have to learn this as much as, whoops, I learned this. I tripped on that. It's like hitting the tip of an iceberg. And when you hit on the tip of an iceberg, when you have that experience, you know that iceberg goes down, 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 deep into the ocean. And that's you. You are that deep. And then we were talking about depth, you know. And so the depth of you is what is you're discovering. And we just don't have that conditioning today. It's just not out there. But that's my suggestion of what we really need to start practicing. So, and Bailey's book and Bailey's dream and Bailey's imagination. I love my girl, and I hope eventually she and I can do a little book tour with this, go around and talk with people about it, help people find.
I'm quite sure you will be.
I hope
I'm
so.
I'm quite sure. You know, what we've been hearing, people who've read the book, it's magical, and we're just so proud to be working with you on many different initiatives for the children. You know, really just partnering and thinking of different ways that we can honor the children and recognize them, give them space. And We Care Forever is just so happy to be working with Jeff Bates. So thank you so much. And
Henry, thank you for all you're doing at We Care Forever. You have meticulous you're a maestro yourself, you know, orchestrating all this. So thank you for having me and for putting all this, you know, all this stuff on your website too. And we want to try and sell a million of these books as quick as we can, because we're funding a lot of these programs for children and creating emotional awareness and helping them. Let's help them follow their dreams, right? Let's help them dream.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for dedicating a large portion of your profits to some funds that will be funding some amazing programs going forward. And just real excited about what the future is to bring. Thank you so much, Jeff. And we'll have to get together and do another episode, many more episodes into the future.
Let's do another one. Yeah, I love this kind of talk. It's great. Appreciate it.
It's amazing. Thank you, Jeff.
The music heard on this interview was titled Bailey Stardance, original piece of music by Jeff Bates. Copyright 2022. Please visit the We Care Forever Foundation, wecareforever.org. And please subscribe to the We Care Forever YouTube channel for other interesting conversations around emotional intelligence and the new world. Thank you for listening.